Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Moline. The Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is set to deliver his annual budget address at the top of the hour, which you'll hear on many of our partner stations. And joining us now from the State House, where he'll be listening to the governor's budget address, is Brian Mackey. He's the State House reporter for Illinois Public Radio. Brian, great to have you as always here on the 21st.
Brian, great to be with you, Brian.
And we'll get to the budget address in just a moment. But first, I need to ask you about the big political news of the last 24 hours.
There's big political news?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Budget all the time here.
That, of course, is President Trump commuting the sentence of former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. Could you just quickly catch us up? What was the governor convicted of doing?
He was convicted of a number of acts of public corruption, including shaking down a children's hospital for a campaign donation before he did, agreed to a change in state policy that they were seeking. There was another one in which he had attempted to shake down a racetrack owner, again, in order for a change in state policy. And the most sort of headline one that grabbed the most international attention at the time was he tried to sell then-President-elect Barack Obama's U.S. Senate seat to somebody who might be willing to sort of hook him up. He famously said on one of the wiretap recordings, it's time for him to start putting himself and his family first, with an expletive I did not say in that sentence.
How long was Blagojevich's sentence and how much of it did he serve?
It was 14 years, and he served roughly half of that. He would have been eligible for parole at some point sooner than 14 years, most likely. By all accounts, he was a reasonably well-behaved inmate. At one point, he was playing in a band, teaching history at the federal prison where he was staying in Colorado. But this commutation of his sentence basically frees him early. Now, it's important to note he is still considered a felon. It was not a pardon. President Trump did pardon some people yesterday. This basically just released him from prison. He is still a convicted felon. And beyond that, here in Illinois, at least, he is barred from ever seeking a public office. When the Illinois House of Representatives voted twice, actually, to impeach him, because it came at the end of one General Assembly and the beginning of a new two-year assembly, they voted to impeach him, and the Senate voted to remove him from office. They also voted separately to bar him from any future public office in the state of Illinois, or of the state of Illinois, which means he can't run for mayor or county board member or library board or anything else that is a creature of the state. Potentially, if he really wanted to, I guess he could run for U.S. Senate or Congress again. We'll have to see what's in his future.
What has the reaction been to this news at the State House?
Mostly disappointment. I mean, there are some people who think the sentence of 14 years was a lot. It was more than twice what former Governor George Ryan got for his public corruption sentence. But, you know, then again, there were wiretaps in this case, and Blagojevich was pretty brazen. And Blagojevich was and remains, interestingly, unapologetic. Even this morning, he talked about, as I guess this was either at the airport or as he was going to his house, according to the Chicago Tribune, about the shakedown that was done to me, he said. So whether it was in the courtroom as he was being sentenced or today, he has been unapologetic about, he has said he's sorry it happened to him, but he has not taken any responsibility for the wrongdoing that a jury of his peers found he had done. And the State House reaction basically was generally unhappy with this.
Yeah, it's interesting, Brian. As you well know, Republicans and Democrats in Springfield don't agree on a lot. It certainly seems that one thing most of them agree on is Rod Blagojevich.
Yeah, I mean, he was a terrible, terrible presence in state government. Not just, and it really goes beyond the corruption. I've made the argument before that the thing that he should be most remembered for is not the sort of petty corruption or the grand corruption even, but it's his complete and utter mismanagement of the state. And I think it's fitting that he comes home on the time of the budget address, because Illinois is still digging out from the very deep hole that he created in state finances by refusing to reconcile the very simple proposition of, we have this much money coming in, therefore we can spend that amount of money. And he would never balance that. He would never either agree to cut spending or raise revenue in order to meet that. And one of the big things he did was shorting the pension systems. You know, when Governor Blagojevich, the fiscal year he took office, I looked this up this morning, there was a $43 billion unfunded liability in the state pensions. A lot, but still, you know, somewhat manageable, people thought. Now that is $137 billion. That's a jump of almost $100 billion. And much of that happened on account of decisions made in the Blagojevich administration with the willing acceptance of the General Assembly, I should add, to short the pension systems their required state contributions.
As you mentioned, the current governor, J.B. Pritzker, is set to deliver his annual budget address today. You know, you mentioned when we talked before the State of the State address last month that you actually find the budget address to be more informative than the State of the State. Can you remind us why that is?
Yeah, you know, there's a line that Joe Biden has attributed to his father. I'm going to paraphrase it. I don't have it directly in front of me, but he says, "Don't tell me what your values are. Show me your spending plan, and I'll tell you what your values are." And it's the same thing with all of us. I think, you know, we can say, yeah, I'm going to get fit this year and I'm going to stop eating unhealthily. But then if you look at my credit card statement or bank statement and it shows more visits to McDonald's and not really paying for a gym membership or anything like that, well, then you can know where my priorities truly are. And that's the same thing with state government. You know, state government does not do a lot the way that, I mean, the federal government has an army, right? It sends people out to do things. It has aid workers. State government has some of it. It doesn't have an army. It has some of that. But most of what state government does is take money from some people and give it to somebody else for some purpose. So it takes billions of dollars from taxpayers and the federal government, and it passes them on to healthcare providers and schools and things like that. So from that standpoint, how the state chooses to spend its money is where you can really tell what state officials value.
And what are we expecting the governor to say about his proposed budget today?
One of the things that we're going to be watching for is how he plans to deal with the proposed graduated income tax constitutional amendment. Just to remind listeners, anyone who can vote this fall will be asked, should Illinois end the requirement in the state constitution that it has a flat income tax? That's where you and I and Governor Pritzker and the people working at a fast food restaurant all pay the same just under 5% of our income to the state. And what this graduated system would do, if the voters approve of it, would be to say people at lower levels of the income would pay less, people at higher levels would pay more, almost up to 8% for couples that make more than $1 million a year. And the question everybody's wondering is, you know, if that goes through, the money would start coming in January, which is halfway through the budget year. That runs from July 1st to June 30th. Will the governor plan to spend that money in this budget, or will he find some way of working around that to say, well, the budget's balanced, you know, maybe we won't, you know, here's what we could do if we get this money in? How he deals with that question is something most people are going to be listening for.
You know, you spoke to lawmakers on both sides of the aisle yesterday. Let's start with the Republicans. They're a super minority in both chambers of the General Assembly. But what budget ideas will they be pushing for this session?
They are a super minority, but it's notable that for the previous 3 years, going back to the budget that ended the impasse, it has been a bipartisan budget here in Illinois. There were a number of Republicans who crossed Bruce Rauner and worked with Democrats to raise taxes and end the 2-year budget stalemate that had crippled Illinois government. And in the following 2 years, the last budget under Governor Rauner and the first budget under Governor Pritzker, Republicans were able to put some votes on the budget, and they say they got some of their priorities respected. So they think, as you know, the mantra of Republicans is waste, fraud, and abuse, right? They think that the state should pursue some more efficiencies, trying to cut costs here and there. The governor has touted some ideas he had for that and some things he's already done. He wants to combine the Department of Labor with the Illinois Department of Employment Security. There are business groups that push back against that idea. But basically, Republicans say they're hoping to hear some ideas for cuts and efficiencies. They have, at least as a political party, been united in their opposition to the graduated income tax. Polling that we here at NPR Illinois have done actually shows that Republican voters are not as uniform, and almost half of them are okay with at least the general idea of the wealthy should pay a higher income tax rate than other people, but as politicians, they are steadfastly opposed to that. And House Republican leader Jim Durkin has said if the governor comes through with a budget that counts on that money from the graduated income tax, the Republicans won't be able to support it.
As for Democrats, unlike some past administrations like Rob Blagojevich, which we discussed a little bit, the governor's office and both chambers of the General Assembly seemed to work pretty well together last year. What are legislative Democrats saying about this year's budget?
You know, they're basically saying, let's wait and see what the governor has to say. It would be hard to imagine them sort of not coming together in the end. I mean, there has been a long honeymoon. The governor and the legislature have been working cooperatively in a way that we have not really seen in Illinois. I mean, on a few issues here and there, but this level of executive and legislative branch harmony, you really, I think, probably have to go back to the George Ryan administration in the late 90s, early 2000s, where you had a governor and majority parties in both the House and Senate that were working together in that way. So I think that, again, they are, as everyone says, with these sort of things, well, we have to wait to hear what the governor says, and we're cautiously optimistic, but they definitely do not want to see cuts. It's just how the governor is going to walk that line about, you know, this graduated income tax.
You know, one of the things that I've also heard Republicans discuss a bit is that they're a little bit unhappy with this property tax relief task force that the governor set up as part of the fair tax proposal. You know, they're looking at ways to help bring maybe some property tax relief to Illinois taxpayers, kind of in exchange maybe for increasing income taxes. Has anything concrete come out of that task force as of this point?
You know, I think we're still waiting for the big proposals on property taxes. It's really a zero. I mean, there are voices who say you can cut property taxes without increasing state spending, because we need to remember that most property taxes in Illinois pay for education. And so if you reduce the amount of money that schools get from property taxes, they say they're going to need more money from other sources, namely the state income tax and sales tax, probably. Now, there are voices out there that would say, well, you know, you could do efficiencies in local government, which is sort of code for saying reduce the amount of union power that the teachers have to bargain over their salary and benefits and things like that. And Governor Rauner made that a centerpiece of his administration, and it went nowhere. So I think that the thinking is that is a pretty unrealistic proposal. So if you are going to reduce property taxes, that means you probably would need to come up with more money from the state. And again, that is something that's where you begin to get the disagreements between the parties. It's easy to say, oh, yes, let's do something about property taxes. But when you actually try to figure out what and find something that a majority of people here in the state house can agree to, that becomes a much more difficult prospect.
And it sounds like really the undercurrent for this entire legislative session will kind of be this battle over the graduated income tax. Governor Pritzker and his allies really pushing hard for it, and Republicans really pushing against it.
Yeah, although it's this weird thing where I wonder how much the governor is actually going to say about it. And certainly his staff has been very reticent, because this is going to be a political question. This is something that's going to be on the ballot next November. And therefore, if a government official is out there saying, hey, vote for this political question, that could potentially be an ethics violation. And this has happened in the past, where a communications aide to a former governor got dinged for an ethics violation for sort of doing advocacy work on state time. So it's this weird situation where a lot of people here are sort of uncomfortable about the idea of promoting this from their government position. So it'll be interesting to hear how they walk that line. Ultimately, though, we do know the governor and Democrats are pushing for this, and so I have no doubt that they will find other ways of getting their message out.
Just about a minute left here, Brian, but just a couple of things on the top of your list that you'll be listening for from the governor today.
Well, how much money does he want to put towards education? There's a state law that says $350 million increase in order to try and get to that equity level. There's been reporting by my colleague Dusty Rhodes and others that, you know, that's still not enough to try and get school funding equitable among the rich districts and poor districts in the state. Also going to be listening for how he plans to handle The pension payments, which are now eating anywhere between 20 and 25% of general revenue spending in Illinois. Does he plan to make the full payment? Will he be doing something to sort of extend out the debt like he had proposed last year? I would say those are two of the big things we'll be listening for.
And that's all the time we have for today, and many of our stations will be bringing you the governor's budget address coming up next. We're produced by Libby Foster, Anna Casey, and Julian Haida. Yunus Alpazan is our intern. Technical direction and engineering from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldy. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening.